This message is provided by Bridgeway Community Church. Thanks for tuning in. Well, Bridgeway, we are actually in Crestwood Elementary, which is in Rockford. Our Kids Hope team is there. And this is an awesome organization, awesome team to work with. If this is something that you'd be curious in, you want to know more information about, our team is going to be right outside the doors here at the info desk, and they'd be happy to answer your questions or to share a little bit more details about how to get involved with that. Also, we have our Boo Bash is coming up this month. Right out by the tree, we have a couple of little trays there where you guys are already starting to drop off candy. We're going to be accepting candy donations through next Sunday. So if you can grab some, you can bring them in during the week, or you can drop them off on the weekend as well. And that's coming up. Also, there's other ways to be involved. If you're looking to be involved with Boo Bash, to run a game for us, to run a station, to bring a candy guessing jar, you could do that as well. Sign up on our website. Just look for the serve button. All right. With that, Rick is going to share. Rick is one of our elders. He's going to share a few other announcements.
Thank you, Mike. Again, good morning, Bridgeway. My name is Rick Good. I am an elder. And on behalf of the elders, I'd like to provide two quick announcements for you this morning. I got some great news, and I got some not so good news. But I'm going to provide you that here shortly. Regarding the good news, I just want to let you know that our search team, we have completed the process, and we have recently hired a new worship leader, Charles Walker. Yeah. Now, you may have seen him last week. He performed up here last week with a double keyboard. That was very impressive. He's also worked with the worship team on a previous week, and he's been attending with his wife, Sarah. So they're new to Bridgeway, but they understand us, and that was kind of his search process for us, and it's a two-way street. So we are extremely excited to bring him to this church. He has great team building and church planning skill sets, so we're going to tap into that, and you're going to see more of that. We are, again, extremely excited to have his God-given talents in his music and his leadership talents. So he'll start October 24th. Some more to come on that. Amen. Thank you. All right, regarding the not so good news. Now I want to provide an update on Pastor Ron. For those of you that don't know, this past Monday, Ron experienced some chest pains. And he headed to the emergency room. And it was determined that Ron had a heart attack. And so Ron had surgery. The doctor, the procedure was to put two stents in his circumflex artery. Ron is now at home. I'm sure he's watching. Good morning, Ron. Stay patient. He's eager to come back. He wanted to be here this morning. And obviously, doctor's orders and elder's orders was stay home. Enjoy the time. We know this is frustrating and it's disappointing for Ron, but he knows that God has given him this new challenge. And we know through him, all things are possible. So I ask us as a church family to lift up Ron and his family and, you know, provide in your prayers and our prayers today. So thank you, everybody.
With that, let me pray for our service today. Father God, I just thank you for who you are. I thank you again that we get to be in this community together. And as we just heard a couple announcements, I want to just lift up Pastor Ron as well. Just pray for protection on him and just healing on him. I just pray that you would be with him even this morning, as I know he's eager to be with us here in person. And we're just excited for when he can be back with us. God, I pray for our time here this morning, and for those of us that are watching online as well, just that you would prepare our hearts for what we are about to hear and the words that are about to be spoken to us this morning. God, I pray that and ask just for your Spirit's presence here with us to move in us and to prick us and to challenge us where we need to be. God, I thank you for the gifts that so many have given to make make all the ministry here possible. And God, I just pray that you would use them and use this time for your kingdom and for your glory. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Good morning, Bridgeway. How's everybody doing this morning? Hope you're doing well. Good to see you all. I join in with what Rick and Pastor Mike said. I would call us to be praying over Pastor Ron. I know he probably hates it. I'm even saying this right now, but I do. I think we should, as a church, be praying over him. Just grateful that he's doing well, and so well, in fact, that he was trying to get me to make some jokes about it this morning, and I was like, no, absolutely not. But he is doing well, and so we're happy for him and continue to pray over him this morning. Last week, Pastor Ron kicked off a new series called Spiritual Habits, where we talked about, we dove into a little bit of Ron's project in his doctorate and his thesis that's coming up, and it's just been a good series to kick off together. We started off with a challenge from Ron last week, which was to start each day with Scripture, and so we hope that you've been joining us in our Bible reading plan that we've put out there as well, and been jumping in each and every single day, starting each and every single one of your days with Scripture. And as part of that challenge, we're doing this Bible reading plan. And so this morning, if you weren't handed that Bible reading plan out in the main lobby, make sure you grab it if you don't already have it. It is out in the main lobby. You can grab it, take it home with you, put it up on your fridge, use it as a bookmark, whatever you'd like to do with it. By all means, take those home with you. We would love it for you to join us in that. But this week, the spiritual habit that we're talking about is a form of, communication. Let me ask you this, church, have you ever realized just how important communication is? How much communication matters? Like every aspect of it, right? The how, the why, the what we communicate, it all matters when it comes to communication. Have you ever been to a wedding? Chances are you have, right? Maybe even your own. Any wedding you've ever been to, they're going to talk about communication being key when it comes to a marriage. And some of you in here know that extremely well, right? I found out myself in times that I haven't communicated well with my wife that it came back to bite me. And so I was like, oh, when people say communication matters and is key in a marriage, they're right. They're 100% right. You see, but some of us in here, communication doesn't always come easy, does it? It doesn't always come easy. And prepping for this message, I couldn't help but think back to some of my friends that I grew up with who just didn't communicate very well in their lives. And I know this because I got to witness it personally. I think back to one friend in particular, his name was Chris, that I grew up with. He struggled mightily when it came to communication. And in particular, when there was a girl that he liked, he struggled even more mightily in communicating to her and figuring out how to speak to a girl that he liked. So much so that he actually would just kind of forego any type of creativity on his own part and thought, you know what, in order to communicate to the opposite gender that I'm interested in, I need to just look up pickup lines on the internet. And so he would do that, and I would witness and cringe over everything that he would find and say to people just from looking on the internet. And so as a result of not finding the words himself, he decided to look for them elsewhere. And just for fun this morning, church, I thought it would be great. I chatted with him, and I thought it would be great to share with you his top five favorite lines that he used. And I remember him using some of these lines. And so these are his top five pickup lines. So bear with me as some of these are cringeworthy. Here's one. I heard him say this to a person once. He said, "Life without you is like a broken pencil. It's pointless." Yeah, because desperation is so romantic, isn't it? I heard he would say, this was another one that he always liked. Do you like vegetables? Because I love you from my head to my toes. Vegetable lines. Yeah, that's going to get somebody for sure. Here's a third one. Would you grab my arm so I can tell my friends I've been touched by an angel? And I'll wrap up with these two. These are my personal favorites of his. On a scale of 1 to 10, you're a 9, and I'm the one you need. This is basically admitting that he's, like, way down there on the scale, right? But then my all-time personal favorite that he would use to say, and I can't even say this without cracking up, he would say, are you, a little bit forward, okay? He would say, are you going to kiss me, or do I have to lie to my diary? Gosh, that one sticks with me. You see, as humans, as people, we're not always pros at communicating, are we? A lot of time we think we are, but then we find out that we're not as good as we think we are. And sometimes it's not even a question of how we communicate, or why we communicate, or what we're communicating, but it's a question of whether or not we are communicating at all. Am I right? You have relationships, or maybe you've heard this about yourself, or you've seen this in other people. And as Christians, I believe that this too applies to our relationship with God. I believe most of us in here acknowledge the fact that in order to be in a relationship with someone, it calls for participation on our part, doesn't it? That in order to be in relationship, it's a two-way street, that we must be willing to participate in that relationship in some way, shape, or form. That it's not just all one-sided. So this morning, the type of participation that we're talking about with God is this thing called prayer. And if we're being truthful with ourselves, we handle prayer in a lot of different ways, don't we? Like for some of us in here, we've had some not so great experiences with prayer. And so we've handled it in different ways. Maybe we put a filter on our prayer. When we speak to God, we put a total filter on it and we just say what we think we're supposed to say and kind of leave the heart out of it. Or maybe we're not really honest in our prayers. Then when it comes to our conversation with our Heavenly Father, that we just kind of leave things out because we just, I don't know if I really want to bring that up. I don't know if I want to talk about it. I don't know if God wants to hear it. Or maybe we don't even pray at all because we've had a bad experience, or at least what we perceive as a bad experience in our prayer life, and we just feel like, I don't know about this thing called prayer. See, maybe in the past for some of you, God showed up and answered your prayers in a big way. And then on the other hand, I bet many of you have had times where you've decided to pray, but all you got was crickets. And you prayed, and you prayed hard, and it just seemed like all you kept getting was crickets and silence. And now prayer, because of that experience, doesn't seem all that important to you or to us. It would be a different story if we got what we wanted. But since, maybe in your experience, maybe since you didn't get what you prayed for, prayer just isn't something you think about all that much anymore because it felt like it didn't work. And yet when we treat prayer like it's our last option, like it's our last option or some type of magical solution to our problems, and it doesn't give us the results that we want, it's frustrating, isn't it? Like we ask ourselves questions like, God, don't you hear me? God, don't you understand? God, don't you know what I'm going through? God, why are you silent? Why won't you answer back? Why can't I hear you? But maybe the problem isn't prayer. Maybe the problem is the way we think about prayer. And if prayer is not just about getting what we want or having a quick solution to our problems, we got to ask ourselves the question, well, then what's the point, right? Let me ask you this. If any of you in here had any type of family drama in your lives, chances are each and every single one of us have to some extent. And the crazy thing is this, so did Jesus. You see, Jesus had a brother named James, and James, Jesus' own brother, didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah. He just couldn't wrap his head around it and didn't believe that that's who Jesus was, even though he was his own brother, and he wasn't a follower of Jesus. because he just didn't necessarily believe that Jesus was who he said he was. And yet then Jesus was killed and came back from the grave. And after that, James knew. After he saw this, he witnessed his brother come back from the dead. James knew that there was no way around it, that Jesus must be the Son of God. But brother or not, it was obvious at that point that Jesus was the Messiah. And later James wrote, he wrote a letter to Jesus, to Jesus' followers. And I love what he says in this letter, because he says something that I believe can just help us get a better understanding of the point of prayer. And this is what James says in chapter 4 of his book, verse 8. James 4, 8 says this: come near to God, and he will come near to you. Come near to God, and God will come near to you. You see, a lot of the time when it comes to prayer, I believe this. I believe James is basically saying this. He's saying, hey, prayer isn't what you think it is. And too often, you've been treating it like this, like a megaphone, where you basically get to shout your messages at God, walk away, and then wait for him to do what you asked him to do. But the megaphone is pretty one-sided, isn't it? Prayer isn't like a megaphone, though, is it? It's not just this one thing that we use to scream our complaints or our worries or our concerns, or we just scream into it, God, and then just like set the megaphone down and walk back away. Prayer isn't like the megaphone. Prayer is more like the cell phone, isn't it? The point isn't to communicate what you want so you can get it. The point of prayer is to connect. The point of prayer is to connect. Think of how a megaphone is used, right? Someone shouts what they want to say, just like I mentioned before. They shout what they want to say, and then that's it. Nobody else like talks back into the other side of the megaphone for you to listen to, right? It's for you to get your message out there for everyone else to hear, and that's where it ends. Communicate your message, and then you're done when it comes to a megaphone. Now think of how a cell phone is used. You call, you text, you private message someone, and then what do? You wait. You wait for a response. And sometimes in prayer, church, I'm saying this morning, I believe this is to be true. Sometimes in prayer, we hit the end on the end button on the cell or on the call before God has a chance to even respond. We hit the end. Check it out. Prayer is about connecting, not just getting things. And when we keep that in mind, I think a couple of things will happen. I think we'll be less intimidated by prayer, and we'll feel less pressure surrounding prayer. When we keep in mind that prayer is about connecting, and that the expectation isn't that we say all the right words in our prayers, but that we simply connect with God, the pressure surrounding prayer all of a sudden drops quite a bit. And the intimidation surrounding prayer all of a sudden drops quite a bit, because we realize it's not about what we say and that we say it perfectly, but it is simply about a relationship and connecting with God. See, we've probably all had conversation with someone where you didn't know what to say. And sometimes we're like that in our conversations with God, where we go to God and we go, well, I don't know what to say to you, God. And we end up dealing with questions like this: how do I start a prayer? What do I say to God? How long do I have to pray? What posture do I have to have? Or what kind of language or terminology do I use? And we ask ourselves these questions, and I got to tell you this morning, I think these are the wrong questions to ask when it comes to prayer. You see, for some of us, it's not that we don't want to pray, but we just aren't sure how to. And I believe there is a lot of ways that we can pray individually, but what I love about Scripture, and specifically Jesus, is that he gives us a roadmap and sets the framework on how to build prayers of our own. I love that about Jesus. He sets the roadmap for us. And so we're going to look at Scripture this morning, coming from Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Matthew 6, 9 to 13, and this is what Jesus says. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now, a lot of you in here know this scripture as the Lord's Prayer, because it is. It's how Jesus has taught us to pray. And so this morning, I want to break down the Lord's Prayer with you. And I want to go through it line by line. And I'm going to hit you with a whole bunch of alliteration here, because I like alliteration, I guess. So let's look at that first line. Our Father, and I'm going to kind of repeat it back in the way that we typically would recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Which is essentially, it means this. It means to start our prayers, we should praise God for who he is. That's praise for who God is. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I know for me, too often I start my own prayers with my own wants, my own desires, my own complaints, my own ideas of what should happen in my life. And yet Jesus flips our propensity for selfishness into this idea that the first thing we should acknowledge in our prayer life is how good God is, because he is good. Again, there's been times in my own life where I've gone through something difficult, and it was just so easy to dive right into my life misfortunes with God as if he didn't already know them. And I'd start my prayers with like, oh, this and oh, that and oh, this should be different and this should be better. Have you ever noticed that the more we focus on the negative and the more that we prioritize the negative, the more negative we become? Church, I believe that the more we focus on the goodness of God, the more we will experience it in our lives, hands down. I love that Jesus sets this for us by saying the first thing we should do is praise God. Praise God and be grateful and thankful for what God has done in the midst of life moments where we feel like, ugh, where are you, God? He's still there, and he's still working, and he's already set the precedent. And we should maybe even at times hone in on the precedent that God has set. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This part is his plan for us. His plan for the world, which is essentially saying, God, would you bring heaven down? Would you bring it down to our world and let your plans take hold? Let the majesty of heaven come down and impact our world. See, I read this commentary by a guy named Craig Koester once on the Lord's Prayer, and it stuck with me because he said this at one point, and it really has. It just stuck with me. He said this: to pray that God's kingdom will come is to ask that God's power to create will prevail over forces that destroy, and that his power to redeem will bring release from bondage. And so I love this part of the Lord's Prayer, right? Because it is, it's asking that God's plans would come into fruition in our world. Not our own plans. A lot of the times we think our own plans are what's best for us or best for the other people around us, but this is asking that God's plans would come to fruition. Because God's plans for us and our world are good. I keep coming back to that word, good. And the next part of the Lord's Prayer is, give us this day our daily bread, which is God's provision for us, the things that he does provide us. The most interesting part of this to me is that Jesus' words are very specific. Give us this day our daily bread. Not tomorrow's daily bread. Not this week's worth or this month's worth or this year's worth, but just today's. only what is needed to make it through this day. You see, I'm as guilty as anybody else for asking for things that I don't need and things that I don't need years from now, instead of trusting that what God's giving me today is enough. Jesus sets this for us, sets the table. Give us this day our daily bread. God, thank you for what you've given me today, because what you've given me today is enough. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And this part is how we interact with people. It's how we interact with people. And if we're asking for God's forgiveness for our sins and our lives, then we also must get right with those who have sinned against us. That part of communicating well with God is communicating well with others. I don't know about you, but that sits in my soul. That if I want to be right with God, that I have to be right with others. That if I want to communicate well with God, then I have to communicate well with others. It's just a part of it. Have you allowed somebody else's transgressions against you hinder your relationship with God? I believe this. Those two things are directly related. Have you allowed somebody else's transgressions against you hinder your relationship and your communication with God? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then the last part, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I don't know, some of you have grown up in certain denominations, maybe you're like, you naturally want to go, for thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Like you want to say that right after, right? I get that. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, which is his protection from life's difficult temptations. We've all got them, don't we? We've all got temptations in life. And if we're going to beat them, then we need God's help every single day, because temptation is powerful. And not only is it powerful, but it's one of the earliest sins that we see in Scripture. When the serpent tempts Eve and Adam to take and eat from the forbidden fruit. Temptation has been around since the beginning of our time as humans on this earth. And yet Jesus sets a course for us to be praying against evil each and every single day. Praying against evil in our lives each and every single day. That there's this thing happening called spiritual warfare and spiritual battle in our lives. Where it really is. I think there's a reason that in our culture we love movies surrounding and stories surrounding good versus evil, because I think it's intrinsically within us from the beginning of time, this battle of good versus evil. And as Christ followers, I believe we better be praying every single day against the evil that's going on, because there is a battle happening, and yet Jesus knows that we've already got victory. Jesus is our victory. And so, church, that is my encouragement this morning, that we'd be praying against evil each and every single day, that we would take this thing called the Lord's Prayer and we would apply it to our lives more than just this thing we recite because we know all the words to it ever since we were little kids, but that the Lord's Prayer would be alive and it would manifest itself within our spiritual journeys. That we would allow that to take place in our lives. Which leads us to my last and most important point of this morning, and it's this. It's our spiritual habit for this week. It's talk to God about your day. If last week Ron talked about starting each day with Scripture, this week we're talking about prayer and the importance of communication with our Heavenly Father in a way where we need to be talking to God about our everyday. What's going on in your life? If you have that feeling of like, you have those questions of, I don't know exactly how to do this. I don't know exactly how to communicate with God. Or I've gone through this thing that's made me doubt certain things, and all of a sudden my communication is falling apart when it comes to my relationship with God. I would implore you and encourage you this morning to give it a shot every single day, to simply talk to God about your day. Say, God, here's what's going on. You already know what's going on, but you ask for us to bring this stuff to you. So God, here's what's going on in my day. And maybe your day is fantastic and you've got great plans ahead, or you had great things happen in your day, or maybe your day was less than ideal and you got to the end of the day and you're like, what kind of day was that, God? Regardless of what your day looked like, I think we're called to talk to God about our every single day. That's what prayer looks like. It is. It's an open line of communication. It's not a one-sided yelling at or a one-sided just like verbal vomit, right? But it's two-way communication. And God's asking us, I just imagine God just begging us to talk with him. Maybe it's been too long since you've talked with God. Church, this morning, I encourage you to pick up the phone and make the call. And don't hit the end button too early. Church, I'm going to pray for us in just a moment. But before I do, I just encourage you to continue going through this Bible reading plan that we've put out there, that Pastor Ron has put out there. I think that this is super beneficial for the life of our church to be going through this together, and it's super beneficial for our own personal spiritual relationship and journey with God. And so I encourage you to continue reading through that Bible plan as we hit this second week of it. And at the end of 4 weeks, as Ron told you last week, we encourage you to fill out a survey form that he's going to be putting out to everybody. This has a big impact on his final project in his doctorate, and so we encourage you to do that because, honestly, we love Pastor Ron. We want to help him out, but also we think it's beneficial for your spiritual journey, and we're going through that with you guys as well. So, church, let me pray for us this morning as we continue to just worship and praise God through song as our team heads up, and we're just trusting in God's communication with us and his desire to communicate back. So let's do that together this morning right now, church. Father God, I'm just blown away by the ways you communicate with us, even when we stop communicating with you. God, that in the midst of us maybe pulling back and saying, this just didn't feel like it worked. God, this just didn't feel like it made an impact the way that I thought or hoped it would. God, that I feel like giving up. God, my prayer this morning is that you would continue, God, that you would just continue to speak to us in a way where we just can't help but open the lines of communication back up with you. God, where we can't help but just have faith in you. Even, God, when we feel like we don't see you or we don't hear you, that's what faith looks like. At times it looks like just taking that next step and saying, God, even though this isn't happening the way that I think it should, God, even though my words seem to fall upon deaf ears, they don't. And God, you hear me. God, you hear us. God, sometimes we just have to be patient. And that patience might look like a week. God, that might look like many, many years. And yet, God, I believe that your goodness is revealed to us through faith and time. God, the more time we spend with you, the more we experience you. God, my prayer this morning is that verse from James, that as we come near to you, God, you'll come near to us. And so we do. We come near to you in this moment of worship and praise, singing words of love for you and affection for you. God, just trusting in who you are. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. Check out our app or website at bridgewaycommunity.org for more messages or to take the sermon one step deeper by downloading the sermon discussion guide.